So hear me out. We
Okay.
do a little quick intro. Wait, don't read it yet. Don't read it
Okay,
yet.
I'm not gonna look at it. Sorry, I looked at it. Let me replace it
Yeah,
so that I can
okay.
be fair. My bad.
No, it's a whole piece to it.
Okay.
I'm screaming. That's like the intro, like icebreaker. 2024 in the year of the dragon passed. Happy Lunar New Year, you feel me? However, we are in a new season, seventh season. And I'm high key sitting across from CJ. Do we want to go by CJ or Harlem Nights tonight all the
It's
time?
actually, it's both. It's a
Okay, it
dual.
is both
You
homes.
can't have one without the other. We are peanut butter and jelly at this
Literally.
point.
I want to respect. Like, even in the note G, I got CJ parentheses Harlem.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Because
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm in the respectful
Exactly.
space of saying, like, what
Yes.
name. So, you
Absolutely.
know me? So, yes. CJ in the building. Whole time, we attempted, like, a nice, like, interview last time. I remember this. This was, like, maybe last year, year
It
before
was
last.
around, it was
This was, like, season five, I think. So, like, not last season, but the season
Oh, you're
before type
right.
shit.
Yeah.
Yes, gee, we tried,
I think it was
but
like the end of the summer.
yes, and like it was between the serve. Like I was, God bless my first apartment. That was a struggle. I was going
Yeah.
through it.
The connection was
That shit was
bad.
ass.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it didn't even. It did enough, but
Yeah.
like I saved what I could, and I made like little sample appetizers. You
It's
know what I'm
all
saying? But the
good.
appetizers sometimes be good, because then this when we go to the
True, because
main
a lot
course.
of shit that went down since that last time we talked, and you
What
had
was
me
that,
on
like
here.
2021, 22?
22.
22.
Yeah.
Gee.
And it's now
It's
24.
2024. 2 years
Time
later.
is zooming by.
Deadass. I mean, to know it is yeah, it's a whole sudden time and place of a
Yeah.
view. Like the view that is right now around me is completely different from
Yeah.
2 years ago. Swear to
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
But yeah, G, okay. Thank you though.
You're
Just
so
like
welcome.
in general. Like extended of like
Oh, yes.
you
I
know
hope at this point in time I'm
candy
considered
loaf.
a friend of the show. You
G.
know, that's how they usually introduce
Yeah.
a friend of our show, a friend of the
Absolutely.
podcast.
It's one
So,
of those like full family like
yeah, y'all, we actually are
family.
friends outside of like
Yeah.
this. This isn't just for the show. This is
Yeah.
actually a friendship of like now about 10 years or
G,
so,
like
'cause I met you
20,
well before I had kids.
dead ass.
Yeah.
This was like 20, like 15.
Yeah. It could have even been earlier than that, but we
Yeah,
just gonna give it
we're gonna
2015.
say 15.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It
but
will
we close to
be,
10.
yeah, we locked in for real, for real.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Shout out to you though for fucking being lit as hell.
I'm
Cause
here.
what
I'm
the freak?
here. Chicago got me.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers held me
Yep.
hostage and I done fun, fell in love with this city. So I'm here.
You here, G? And you turning the fuck up, so.
Go look at the Instagram account,
Yo,
okay? At Miss Harlem Knight.
that's really cool, G. That's
Thank
really
you.
dope.
Yeah, I'm definitely being more appreciative of the blessing that is aging. 'Cause believe it or not, at 38 years old, currently, I have laid way too many friends to rest. Not even on some like niggas' lives was taken. Like we talking about natural causes, accidents, like just random shit. Like all different types of reasons why a person, you know, would make that transition. And that is an eye opener. You stop being so caught up in thinking you have one a lot of time, and two, you stop being so caught up in where you are in time, because all you literally have is that day that you have.
Literally.
So, yeah,
Yeah.
welcome to the journey of
Wow.
the
I'm listen. Yeah. But you know
third
what? It's still like
tastes.
smooth though. Like
That's good.
it's
It
like
started
changing your
smooth.
tires when
I'm
you've worn
glad.
the same tires for so long. It's
Yeah.
like I'm good. Like when
Shit
I'm
got tumultuous for me around about 32.
Yeah,
That's
shit
when I
had to
got,
shake. Gee,
yeah.
shit was earthquakey, like Tyler the Creator, like going
Yeah.
in my 29th. Like
But your 20s build you up
my 29th
to
year hit
deal
different.
with. Yeah, that's your Saturn. That's part of your Saturn return.
Gee, like it was
So,
that was mind you, this was the last day of my 20th. Yeah. The last day of my 20s was Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that just hit different.
Yeah.
In a lot of layers.
I feel like the 20s are, well, that is pretty much like spoken that the 20s are made to make mistakes. That's a pretty common thing said around. But I also think, honestly, your 20s are for really just locking in the tools that you're going to need to go through bullshit. Right. That's why they say that. So I feel like that's why the whole the 20s are for making mistakes thing.
Yeah.
It's not always you're going to learn from your mistakes, because it's shit that I started doing bad habit wise well before my 20s that I'm like still in my 30s trying to break. But overall, I know that like dealing with that previous decade of not knowing how to not have a complete meltdown at every time that some shit went wrong. I had some of the greatest grief that I ever experienced in my 20s when I lost my grandmother. So like a lot of the shit that had really knocked me off my center in my 20s, those things have come back around in my 30s. Mm. But then motherhood was added to the mix, and that also just threw a complete monkey wrench. I feel like my 30s weren't quote unquote better, but I was better equipped to handle the shit that I'm dealing with, and I'm still continuing to do it. And the crazy shit is I got a whole nother decade that's coming in that like
that's fresh as hell
with some new problems that I ain't ready to even like like wait a minute, what? Look. Like it honestly feels like you know the part, you know, like the opening to a different world where every time they walk through the door, it's some new shit in the door. Like that's what it feels like. Like going through these decades is like, okay, got out that door. Oh, it's some new shit to walk through.
New color and everything.
High key. Like,
damn. The creative entrepreneur ecosystem. Think of this shit. Like I'm deep as hell. I'm sorry. Can't help it.
No, don't be sorry. You've always been this way, friend. You've always been this way.
Like, we gotta have substance. Like, what are y'all talking about?
There's nothing wrong with having both a corporate mindset and like that spiritual.
You gotta sharpen.
I feel like you need it.
Like, I gotta give y'all like gems, but like in a space of where storytelling is like bringing fruit at the table at the same time. Like, let's walk away with some development, like, internally. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's feed more education and, like, bring in more health, like, healthy shit, but, like, inner healthy shit. How can we thrive, like, for real, if we inner needs to, like, clean up, add more of, sharpen, you know what I'm saying? Gain a little bit more, because, like, I've been in my, like, hermit a little mode a little bit, but I've high-key been understanding, like, what isolation can really do when you feed like yourself the right way and like letting shit detox out the fuck back door. Like
instead of looking at isolation as a problematic thing, looking at it as
I'm
like
over here in my tummy starts.
It's a privilege. I'm a mother of two, single parent. I've been doing my mother thing since 2017, technically, when I was carrying them in my womb. But overall, at this point, I now have like young kids. They're no longer babies. And in that time of becoming a parent, going from no kids to now two kids, because they're twins, I crave quiet. I crave isolation. I crave being not touched on, not talked to every 2 seconds of the day. And this is something that, like, I didn't realize how much of a big deal that was for me until I no longer had it. You know what I'm saying? I was absolutely definite, like, very much taking advantage of having a quiet home in a very chill, zen, peaceful atmosphere. Like, my home has always been, I'm a Taurus, so Taurus sun, I'm going to have a comfortable home. It's gonna feel the way that it should feel, you know, when you want a good hug. You know what I'm saying? My house is like a hug. So I still have that cozy element. People, you know, who do come over have always said, like, yeah, your house feels so, like, inviting. But that bitch don't be quiet. And it don't be isolated, because I always got little people up in there, or a grandma up in there, or a grandpa, or somebody delivering some shit, or maintenance fixing some shit. Like, I went from, damn, I should go outside and socialize with people, to like, if I don't leave the house to just sit in my car and be quiet, I'm gonna lose my fucking marbles, like, right now. You know what I'm saying? So I am, man, I envy the people who can just get that isolation without struggle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta make arrangements to get that type of shit.
Right.
Yeah.
It ain't shit easy.
And I noticed the difference in my working productivity, really, when I do have like my own solitude.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a bunch of distractions around. Yeah. I don't have a bunch of, I have to divide my ears up between listening to see if little hands are getting into things. And, you know what I'm saying? And then more than likely there's a TV in another room going. That's probably loud enough to carry into my, you know, my space.
So you over here like, well, damn, I need.
There's always something, you know.
I need like the soundproof.
Oh, what? But then here's the downside of that. If I really go into isolation and just like hermit myself, I'll come out and my house will look like chaos, because I have two little people who don't know what boundaries are right now.
Like, yeah, okay, but anyway.
Okay, basically. And you know what they, you met them, you know them, you know how energetic they are. Oh, yeah. Creative as hell. To the point where you want to make fucking ketchup murals and ice cream fucking graffiti on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, child. So.
I felt that.
Yes. So kudos. If you could, I as somebody who does not get to enjoy the solitude as much as I'd like to, I 100% say that yes. Like, if you can carve in some alone time where, you know, you just are in your own thoughts, in your own head, however you meditate out, do that shit. Mm. Like, for real, for real. If it can't be done at home, you know, find ways to do so. But like, yeah, I be sitting in my car having peace. Yeah. Okay.
It's definitely been a journey to just be, you know what I'm saying? If anything, where I am right now. So I'm just grateful. Shout out to Soul Angel. She's like a really dope spiritual. It's like influencer on IG. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm so goddamn grounded where I can't even stand up. But you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually layered as hell. So just understanding, like, what it took for me to, like, really apply, like, very seriously, like, internally to, like, be here. It's like, okay. Like, I know where the hell I'm trying to get to in my life. But, yeah, so, like, in short, this, when you think of ecosystem, right? Like, on some nerdy shit. That's like the science, like, you good, you do your thing.
I forgot y'all gotta do so much shit different when you got a mic on.
No, you good. It's the candle wick in the background, too. So.
Oh, okay.
But it's chilling, like, it's like a background little,
cool.
Little wiki. But yeah, so when you tap into, like, your first science class, hear me out, and you think of the word ecosystem, like, basically, an ecosystem is an environment of a lot of, think of like the city of Chicago, basically, right? Or any like city, how it takes a lot of shit to create its own community environment. Like how literally birds, squirrels, and goddamn raccoons can and deer can chill all in the same environment because they all have like input. You know, like their own, like they've created their own little society, but like all of them working together to where it's like it's cohesively creating education within like your industry and shit, right? What does that look like? What does it look like for me on just knowing how to move as someone that owns a business? Like, what are those, elements that I need to like feed more of myself with to like know how to effectively run my shit. Spiritual health, personal health,
financial health, right? Like, how am I taking care of myself? Like, in all of these realms, like, how literate can I be? And how much do I know now? Like, I'm over here, G, in solitude to really think of, like, real layers of what it takes to, like, build an effective, like, ecosystem. But, like, as an entrepreneur, like, what are the things that I need that can successfully be, like, an environment that I can thrive in?
Yeah.
Right? You feel me? So, yeah. Tapping into, like, self-love, those cards, G, are, and again, shout out to Alexandra. Again, she like whole ass two times scoring because the candle in the background and these cards for the icebreaker was from the homie for a birthday gift. It's really cool. And I appreciate this year. So that's just why I'm embedding it in the show, G.
Dope.
But in every episode, actually, of this season, I'm going to do this with everybody.
Cool.
So the context basically is like, thinking of self-love that you have for yourself in three time periods. Don't read them yet, dude. I'm screaming. So you got past, present, and future in front of you, right?
Okay.
You can go in any order you want, but when you think about self-love that you have for yourself in three time periods, like, of your life, like, and these messages, the messages are basically the answers to the question.
Okay, so... level two presence asks, what are you spending more energy on than you have to give? Ooh, currently, what am I spending more energy on than I have to give? Speaking of which, it's funny, I was just talking about motherhood. That's probably the number one answer currently. Motherhood, my cup is scraping, like, it's hitting the boop, 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 boop at the bottom of the jar.
But no, I hear you. That octave.
Anybody in there? Hello, hello. You know, when you're talking to a jar, you can hear the echo. It's giving that. Okay. Do you want me to elaborate on that? Okay. Hey. Me. Whoever's listening to me talk about how motherhood's kicking my ass, come on in the room. As I said, you know, I'm a single parent. That in itself is a radical act. People don't like to say that because it is a vast majority of our community that believe that, particularly I, a Black single mother, a queer Black single mom at that, is in somehow, some way responsible for a multitude of the ills and the struggles that our community face. So literally, even if hypothetically speaking, I had the perfect support ecosystem and had an abundance of money to like raise my children with no struggle, I would still be seen as a problem.
Why are you saying that though?
Because that's been said, it's been said on so many different platforms, forums, people who are figures in, you know, our favorite communities, if you will, have gone so far as to say that the Black woman is responsible for raising men who are emasculated and raising daughters who are, you know, fatherless and all this other shit. Like, it's unfortunate that and the only reason why I'm not gonna drop names is because, honestly speaking, I don't want to be triggered.
No, I respect
you. Know what I'm saying?
I would say let's answer and go in the capacity you feel.
Yeah, but people can very much Google the information or go on to whatever media sources that they want to like research where these things have been openly said. So that in itself is a struggle. Literally, just to walk around and feel like I am not deemed worthless or undesirable, discarded, etc. by society, that is a struggle, even if everything was perfect. But everything is not perfect in my life. You know what I'm saying? I do struggle in certain ways. I am raising children who have special needs. I am dealing with a situation where there's a legal fight to receive child support right now, actively happening, you know? So the level of energy that I have to give to mothering, baby, I walk around with my battery on 20% all the time at this point. And in somehow, some way, I'm still, and this is where the problem is. The problem is that though I walk around with that, I have children on the honor roll. I have children with perfect attendance in school, respectful, gracious. Yes, they get into mischief and they do naughty shit, but what the hell, 6-year-old doesn't. But overall, I have kids who are nurtured and loved and protected, and they move with that energy. You can tell when a child is very happy. Mm-hmm. So despite me not having damn near shit to give, I am giving them all that I actually do have, and it's showing. But the downside of that is because my cup has not been replenished for now years, we've been talking about, you know what I'm saying? I've been running on this cup being low to empty for since 2018. I'm now at a point where I'm like, I have to find myself in either my work outlet or my art outlet. Like, I have to find myself in other ways, because unfortunately, the type of support that I need is not accessible to me at this point. And it's unfortunate that I don't know when that help will be, when those resources will be accessible to me consistently. Because that is something that is another issue. It's like, yeah, you guys can offer help. People can offer help. If, you know, a one-off thing, and that's wonderful. Thank you. But like, I be struggling with this shit 24/7, you know what I'm saying? 24/7, 7 days. So, yeah, currently mothering is where my energy is bone dry, but I still be spraying, spray bottling.
Even with the drugs.
With my dear life.
I'm like, you still making some goddamn hydration and moisture. The moisture coming through the bones.
Thank God I'm a black woman.
Exactly.
Thank God I'm a black woman, because baby, that's literally the strength of all of the black women who had to make shit shake. Okay, let's go to the past. All right, we'll do future last, because I feel like future's gonna be on a good high note. I mean, me talking about where I'm at in my struggle with motherhood, I try to normalize it. It's not a heavy thing as it could be. Yes, it does have heavy moments, but it's not. I stopped looking at myself as a burden, so I stopped talking about my motherhood struggles as a burden. I'm very like candid about them, but it's not for no like, oh, it's woe with me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Type of feeling. So, okay. Let's see. My past. When has my intuition been right in my past? Ooh, Chile.
That's a good question. You said, what was the question?
When has your intuition been right?
In the past.
Well, all right, where are we going with this? We going to get personal, or we going to talk about it in the work life?
I mean, okay, so hear me out.
We talking about it in the entrepreneurial sense, or are we talking about it in the personal life? Because that intuition kicks in anytime in any scenario.
My plea to fifth statement is it's all in the ecosystem.
Shit, you taking it to the way they do it on Tank. I ain't saying no names. Okay, so kind of generic. I won't tell a specific story, but let's just say this. My intuition has pushed me to, I'll generalize as much as I can. But none of these things that I'm saying are things that have not actually happened already. Not in the process of, but have actually already occurred.
Okay.
So in the past, my intuition
It was the parentheses.
Okay, the four word before G, we get into like, the
we need to make a fucking dive. I'm coming back to you, G. It's gonna be in 215 film shit. I'm dead ass,
okay,
y'all.
I mean,
putting this on tape right now,
nigga,
on
let's
my
do
IPR
it.
Show.
I love me a documentary.
G,
let's
I
do
love
it.
Doing the shit.
Let's do
I got,
it.
I've been cooking up like Spike Lee. I just haven't touched the right film.
A Harlem Night documentary would be wild,
like,
bruh.
G.
All right, well, y'all, right. Y'all hear it on the podcast first. Listen. We talking about it. We'll see what happens in
Queen
about
licking her toes, G, on that.
A lot can happen in 2 years, G.
Look, G.
So,
do your shit, bro.
Okay, so my intuition has led me down the following. It has my intuition kicked in for me to make the decision to permanently stay in Chicago because I'm originally from New York City. And that's where my stage name, Harlem Night, is a direct acknowledgement of. And for years, I was back and forth trying to figure out whether or not I was going to stay. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think when me and you were friends, I was still, like, I mean, like, in the very beginning of our friendship, I was still not on the, like, for sure side of what I was going to do. Mm. So that was one thing. And another thing that led my intuition, was led by my intuition was, you know, deciding to move away from friendships that no longer needed to exist. Mm. I won't blame anybody. I'll just say that we ran its course. Mm. And I think my intuition needed to allow me to see that. Mm. And I needed to listen to it because it's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to have that little voice, and it's another thing to silence that joint.
Facts. What's the press?
And I think in kind of past, but recent past, is that my intuition led me to venture into entrepreneurship, to open up the studio. You know, you were a part of that project with me. Shit took a very different turn. The fact that I jumped out the window with it let me know that my career in burlesque and, you know, in the entertainment nightlife sector, like, it would sustain. Because if I could go through such a loss of, like, my entire life work going in a box to storage is that's some humbling ass shit. You know what I'm saying? So I think because I was able to weather that storm, my intuition definitely kicked in when it was like, you know what, you should give this shit a try. Like, honestly, because I before this, I only really had motherhood as like my big marker of like, I am an adulty adult. Like, this is, you know, it's it. Like, the leash has been cut. The cord has been cut for my mom. Like, that type of shit. But this career is very much outside of what I had been preparing myself to do for the rest of my life.
And with burlesque, like, was it one of those where you had already wanted to go into it and you had that opportunity, or you just said, I'm about to do this shit for the first time and see where that shit go? Like,
kind of both. Okay, so as far as the dance style of burlesque, no, to be honest. I still, even joining my burlesque troupe, shout out Body Confidential Queens.
Hey.
Even joining my troupe, I had hangups about my body. Mm. I had insecurities about it. And me joining the troupe, knowing that I had to put skin out there, was part of doing my work to get through those hiccups. How it all occurred actually was, so you remember when Umoja went under to Catch the People Up, I opened up a brick and mortar studio in 2020. It had been in the works in the inception stages before the pandemic, and then like we did some things, and then like we had our basically our grand opening was like at the very end of the year leading into the beginning of the next. So our doors were open by 2021, and by the top of 2022 we had already won an award, remember, best of weddings, and we had done photo shoots, we had prominent clients, like, it was taking off. Then unfortunately the landlord, under everyone's nose, sold the entire building. Everyone had to leave. That's how I ended up losing everything in one swoop, and I didn't have the money to recover all my losses and move into another building. I was still technically in the red from the year before and all the expenses that I went into, because remember, I had bought equipment, painted, did, you know, hardware upgrades, things like that. So that led me to my good friend Depression, and me and I'm Depression hung out.
It was just how you introduced
me and Depressy kicked it. We kicked it hard as hell. I was already dealing with a lot of anxiety from being an entrepreneur. I had become overwhelmed with a lot of the work that went in the back office end of things. And so I was already dealing with functional depression and anxiety from running the business. But then it slipped into full throttle, like the type of depression that unfortunately everyone like thinks of first, you know, and that was not wanting to shower. There were days I was not smelling so good. And my mama had to be like, girl, please handle yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, is everything okay? And mind you, again, I'm a Taurus. We don't do the funk, okay? So my mom was like, something's off. You dealing with some shit. Yeah, the only thing I really would do was get up, make sure my kids were fed, and keep it moving. So a good friend of mine, who is still my friend to this day, whose show I actually just did in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. Hey. A good friend of mine, Goddess Brick House. If you're into burlesque performers and you're curious, look her up. Look her up. If you're already in burlesque, then you should already know. She invited me to this all-black burlesque review called Jeezy's Juke Joint. As another person, if you don't know about burlesque and you just want to know your history about black performers in burlesque, name is Jeez Louise. Look her up. She's fucking phenomenal. She's still active in the scene as well. So they invite me. I go through to the show. I'm like, a heads up. I ain't got no job. My savings account dry. I got enough gas money and about an eighth of weed that my friends gave me because they growing the shit and they felt bad for me. So niggas is not equipped to be living the life outside. So you sure you want me to come through? Yes, come through. Okay. It was a transformative night. I seen all different types of body types, all black people, but all different types of shades, hair textures, body types, abilities, agilities, sizes, all that shit, gender expressions, all in one show. One show, and everybody was black. It was no question mark, Everybody was black. And I was just like, wow, this is a fucking beautiful ass show. It was there that my now troupe that I'm in performed. And so I did not know that the troupe was local to Chicago. They, you know, they at the end of the act, they had the opportunity to like speak a little bit about, you know, the group. And I started following them on Instagram based off of the performance. And so after that night, it was a good night. You know, I still, you know, depression doesn't mean that you feel that shit every single day. I was still feeling, you know, I had my good days, I had my bad days. And it's now leaning into the spring. So fortunately, the weather is going to help me with like working through some of those things. And it just so happened that that was when the auditions were held. It was the spring later on that year because the show was in the wintertime. It was like it was late February, like early March, if I'm not mistaken, the show that occurred. So it was still considered winter. Yeah, still considered winter time, still like getting dark early. So spring was when the auditions were held. I went with the impression of just thinking, even if I don't get in, this is something to get me out the house. Like I'm moving my body. I'm trying to boost my serotonin. Fine. You know what I'm saying? I had a conversation with my therapist around that time.
You hit the okay, sure.
Exactly. It was given like, nothing else is working. Because I wasn't drinking or anything like that, but I was just trying to find any kind of vice, any kind of self-soothing situation I was like trying to get into. So burlesque, dance, all that shit, like it's technically a full circle moment for me because I started dancing when I was a child and I danced all the way up to my early 20s. I stopped dancing at 21.
Okay, geez. So
I went from 21 to, but listen, going from 21 years old when your body is in one condition to the whole, it was about 15 years when I started back in dance again because I was 36. When I started dancing again. So I went through a 10 year plus, you know, stretch of years where my body definitely changed. I had, you know, different muscles that went dormant, different muscles that were active because of me standing on my feet for work, but it's not the same muscles moving as like, you know, you dancing and shit. Then I'm intimidated by my age. I'm intimidated by the fact that, like, I am at the time the largest performer on the troupe. I still am now the largest performer on the troupe, but I don't faze me, and my sisters embrace it full throttle. Mm-hmm. Have always embraced it. But when you don't know people, because at the time we're all auditioning, we, you know, nobody knew each other past that.
That's true.
You're still learning each other, you know? So there were certain insecurities that I had that I had to build up the level of, like, vulnerability, trust, et cetera, with my dance sisters to say, like, this is how I felt about my body at the time, or this is how I feel about my body currently. So it was all really a natural progression. Mm. I feel like if I hadn't had, I know for sure if Umoja hadn't closed, I probably wouldn't have ever picked up, you know, the idea to audition in the first place. The money was really an afterthought. It was not until I started getting feedback from community saying, you need to do this. Like, I know what you said, but you need to do this because you does this. And I really had to sit with that and be like, am I really at a point in my life where this can sustain me though? Like, we're not talking about me being fresh up out of college.
Right. This is like, you already fresh.
And I had established myself as a MUA, a cosmetologist, like, a content creator.
Like, strides already through other, like,
you that's know, you met me through
routes, like makeup and
you met me through being an MUA. That's how you met me. We met each other doing a shoot together. So like, but and remember, by the time you met me, I had already been an MUA for maybe like 5 years by that time. So I was building the fundamentals way back when I thought to myself, I'm not going to be a dancer. It's not for me because this industry is not for me.
You didn't even think to tap in like as heavy like that.
Absolutely not. And there's still shit I'm fighting for present day. But I'm also like, I went through some of these same battles in freelancing, doing makeup, all that shit. So it's not really so foreign, you know what I'm saying? I know how to handle some of the things that I face.
Come on, know how to. Let them know what it is.
Okay, come on, 30.
I've been so lonely, so I ain't been chilling. All my exes wanna name me the villain. Well, honestly, y'all been out here healing. Been slicking drugs, do some real pain killing. I left this watch again, I think she probably snorting. She got a foreign friend, she said that she imported. But why these bad bitches, they so always damn important. Baby girl, my heart been broken, so I'm living my best life, yo. I'm fucked up, so I don't think twice, no. It's summertime, no need for wives, don't need no strife. Just green and gas, so I say hi. It's party time, so I'm out here living my best life, yo. It's summertime, no need for wives, no. It's summertime, no need for wives. Just catch the vibes, don't sleep, no drunk and lullabies. It's party time, yo. You see my new phone. I'm living my best life, yo. I'm fucked up, so I don't think twice, no. It's summertime, no need for wives, don't need no strife. Just green and gas, so I say hi. It's party time, so I'm out here living my best life, yo. It's summertime, no need for wives, no. It's summertime, no need for wives. Just catch the vibes, don't sleep, no drunk and lullabies. It's party time, yo.
Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Future me. Ooh. Oh, boy.
What's the question? Because
it's going to you. This question is going to zap right into my personal life when I say it out loud. Because you know, friend, off camera, off rolling. We not on camera. Damn, that's how you know.
I mean, we low key.
The invisible camera is recording.
Yeah, it's recording.
Okay, so when I say, what do you no longer want to wait for?
Ooh.
Wasn't we just talking about this shit?
Yes.
Okay.
You gotta give.
Let me get comfortable.
let me get another glance.
Okay. Okay. We talking about my personal, kind of sort of personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's personal. But what I have to say is definitely something that will probably resonate, which is why I'm even divulging.
Okay.
I no longer want to wait for somebody to realize that I am the fucking shit. And yes, that is the reference that I'm drawing up when I say that is a reflection of my personal life. But that can be
transferred to any category yeah.
of anything that you feel like you're being overlooked, that you're being underestimated. I don't got time for that shit no more. Yeah. I don't have time to convince a person, a job, a potential lover, a friend, a colleague, that I'm the shit. That's it. That's all. Being the shit doesn't mean that you're necessarily the quote unquote best either. What it means is, when I say I'm the shit, means I move with a level of intention and thoughtfulness that I don't see replicated often enough in this world.
That's crazy.
And that's something that I'm realizing as I continue to see the world through the eyes that I have, that my gift of that is very, very important to not only acknowledge and embrace and receive it, but most important, to protect it. I have to protect that, because the type of levels of care and, you know, just all those things that, as much as we try so hard to, oh, niggas is simps if they act like this, or oh, you soft, or oh, you a bitch, or oh yeah, like, again, some of the shit that single moms get is that we raise people who, when they have this mindset, are quote unquote emasculated, or they have some sort of, like, you know, they are losing something. But nah, G, I love that about me. At first that shit was something I used to always be like, why do I give a fuck so much? I always used to say that shit. Especially when I was in situations where my feelings was getting hurt.
Yeah.
I would be like, why the fuck do I care so much? It's not fair. I want to just not give a fuck. Like, I legit have said that out loud. Like, I want to wake up tomorrow not giving a fuck about people, about circumstances, about how I feel about shit. Like, I have been through some shit that I know for a fact, if my feelings were not so, my ability to be empathic and my feelings were not so invested in what I was hoping would be the positive outcome of some shit, like, I'm more than certain that, like, it would have probably been some shit to just roll off my back. But, like, shit don't always roll off my back.
Right.
And that in itself, too, the beauty of acknowledging that, like, no, I'm not gonna just let certain shit roll. Yes, I am gonna have a certain feelings of, like, I'm not okay with this shit. This is an issue for me. Like, I'm realizing the beauty in that.
Yeah.
And so I'm no longer going to wait around for someone to realize that that's actually a positive trait. If you can't get with it, you ain't meant to be around. And I can only just pray that maybe at some point in time, you will find, you know, whatever's going to get you to a level of content and peace that you don't even have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to go around declaring how much at peace and like chill and all this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like people who really truly protect their energy don't necessarily always have to declare that they're protecting their energy.
Literally talking about the ecosystem without even knowing. We talking about the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, understanding what is in your environment that you want. Okay, here we go. Yeah, so like, education, like just absorbing more education about your craft, right? Like, when you think about outlets that you create for yourself, you like, what would you say, like, you give yourself ability to like learn like more of like burlesque, or like learn more like into like makeup, like what would you say you've made like space for yourself to like learn like more, you know what I mean?
I've made space to make space, if that makes sense to you. Like, I am now in a position where I have a complete and total out of my wheelhouse occupation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I am not actively doing makeup. I am not actively doing hair. I was doing the whole, like, I'll take a couple of clients here. I'm not even doing that. I can't tell you the last time that I had somebody, it was last year, last fall. And it was a favor. You know what I'm saying? If the person wasn't who they were, I probably wouldn't have taken the appointment. So just the fact that I have become open to learning how to move around in ways that I hadn't planned for.
Mm.
I think if I hadn't made space to make space for the ability for gears to shift, there probably wouldn't have been as it's still, and that's the thing, like, please don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying this shit like I'm just coasting through and I'm
not like
the baddest burlesquer there ever burlesqued. Like, I'm not that, but what I am saying is the level of like hustle and having to put yourself out there and having to, you know, network and learn things all while you trying to still be a top-notch performer to, you know, get booked and have money in your pocket, like, all of those challenges are things that I think if I hadn't made space to be teachable, I probably would not be where I'm at right now to be able to even talk about it. Mm. Yeah.
I see you, Jean. So, man, how would you say you keep your spiritual health, like, intact? Like, keep yourself grounded? Like, what's some mantras you live by when it comes to, like, my peace of mind, my inner health? Like, spiritually being, like, tapped in. Like, keeping yourself healthy. Because I can imagine, G, like, you have... When you go to, like, different cities, you know, mm-hmm. from the crowds to the people that you're working with, or maybe, like, the dancers, or, like, would you say, like, region-wise, you'd be feeling different vibe? Like, thinking just about your health, you know, spiritually around that.
I ain't gonna hold you.
You know, you won't be knowing what you got to tap into until you get there, you know?
Yeah, I ain't gonna hold you. I love Chicago. You know, as far as the burlesque scene out here and performing out here. Simultaneously, though, because I don't want to say but. Like, I don't want to negate, you know.
That's a nice word.
Yeah. Man.
Come on, simultaneously?
Okay.
Oh.
See, mom and dad, y'all paid for me to do all that SAT prep. It worked, girl. It worked. At the same time, I do feel a way different energy when I perform for out of town cities, because they only getting me for one night.
Mm.
I'm giving them my all because I'm only giving it to them for one night. Mm. Yeah. It sounds so raunchy. But it's also just like, you know, this is a fresh face. This is a fresh energy on the stage. Like, you know, and you feel it. I take my out of town gigs as like sometimes my opportunity to debut new stuff, because I want to see how people that are not like already friends of mine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can try and test shit out on people who know you, yeah. and you're either going to get critiqued a little too hard, or you're going to be like, yes to death. Like, you yeah. know what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes when you want to do things in front of like a fresh audience, like that shit is dope. But traveling solo, actually, I am so proud of myself for being able to challenge myself to travel solo and still be a mom. It's not easy. I find myself booking weird ass flight times so that I can run back and pick up kids from school. Or I legit one time got off the plane and made dinner. Like, high key.
Come on.
High key. I've done that before.
Yo, that's actually.
But it also gives me like my little 1 or 2 days of like.
That's break. A bar.
Yeah.
Homie said, I got off the flight and made dinner. Gee, that shit wrong. Well, I mean, you got, CJ, it sounds like you got, like, the flow of it. Like, your level of fluidity is, like, very solid. Like,
thank you.
You are definitely in that shit. So, like, what's your mantra, G? Like, what would you say, if you could say a mantra you live by, like, in the midst of, like, you know what I'm saying? All the spaces that you know,
yeah.
experience, and, like, still learning type shit. Like, understanding past, present, and future is, like, actually all the time.
Well, I will say, I say often the Body Confidence for Queen mantra. Look that up if you want to find it.
Okay. Hold on. Let me do that right now. I'm going to shout them out.
Yeah, on. Absolutely. I say that a lot. We say it at rehearsals. I say it to myself, you know, often. My personal mantra, though, is it's not really a mantra. It's more of a reminder. Because I feel like a lot of my energy is ancestral. I come from a line of women who had a hard time with childbirth. Had a hard time raising kids, had a hard time being entrepreneurs. All the things that I'm doing currently, I come from a line of women who tried to do all of those things and in some way, shape, or form, they might have gotten their foot in the door, but it wasn't the level of success that like they probably could have seen if the circumstances were not what they had been at that time. Mm. So my declarative statement is I rest on the ancestors. I rest on the shoulders of the ancestors who have paved the way for me to run on the path that they've laid out. I say that all the time. Yeah. And that's really like, that's fuel because I legit have ancestors that I know that I can literally like remember hugging and touching, who I know also, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like this auntie of yours used to do this, or you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like I said, speaking on my grandmother, and also shout out to my mom. I talk about my grandma a lot, but my mom is definitely the quiet reserve that like, I wish I could sometimes have that. Like, shorty is a rock. I got some fire sign energy underneath that earth sign. So
what's your fire on your chart?
I got a whole lot of Aries.
Aries
threaded all up and through there, but my moon is in Sag, so I got okay. fire.
Oh, yeah, so you got all at the end of the day, you still,
I'm a volcano.
Yeah,
you put earth and heat together and you got a goddamn volcano.
Like broil in the oven still.
I'm the volcano that like the lava goes down slow.
Ooh.
But watch, warn the villagers. Warn the goddamn.
I'm screaming. Also, no, that's deep.
It's gonna get hot down there if y'all don't run. Whoa. But no, I always talk about how I did not know this information either. Like that's why I said shout out my mom. So I became a burlesque dancer at 36.
Okay.
However, I was shitting myself to tell my mom, because if you don't know what burlesque is the art of striptease. So I'm just breaking it down for people that don't know.
Okay, break it down.
Striptease, meaning, yes, you take off your clothes. People throw money at you. You are essentially a stripper with glitter. You know what I'm saying? It's That was the quick 140 characters version of that explanation.
That was real quick.
There is a full art form to burlesque. Please understand me. Mm-hmm. Okay, burlesque, four mothers, don't, and four fathers, and four ancestrin. I don't need y'all to come at my head because I done said something that wasn't a full expansive definition. But striptease, anytime you say strip in any sentence and you talking to your folks,
thanks,
you're gonna be nervous, okay? I was more nervous to tell them about burlesque than I was to come out.
Mm. Damn, that's another
bar. High key.
You got bars. Wow.
So when I told my mom that I was thinking about it, by the time, okay, here's what, I'm gonna tell y'all my toxic trait. My toxic trait is I tell my mama I'm thinking about something, but then when I tell her I'm thinking about it, I'm not already did it.
I'm screaming. I already knew. I'm like, you already
and her being my mom, you would think in all these years that I do this shit, right, that she would get the fucking hit. But she still, unless she's just playing, unless she's just being an actress. And if that's the case, thanks for always thinking that I'm only thinking about it, mom. Right. Shout out to you. But
whole time moms be knowing though.
I swear. So I told my mama, and that's when she explained to me that my grandma was a shake dancer.
Shake
dancer. What is what the black folks refer to as, you know, the style of go-go dance as we know it now and burlesque, and you know what I'm saying? What a lot of the moves that are being done in burlesque now is what the shake dance, but let's be fucking for real. When black people do anything, we know what happens. So the original, right, the original version of it was what we know is now like neo burlesque.
Okay.
So yeah, my grandma danced underage. She lied about her age. She was married to someone who was of age at the time, so he could get her, you know, he can do whatever he needed to do to make sure she got through the door. That was my biological grandfather, who he didn't support, he didn't necessarily support the lifestyle, but when she would come home with money and he didn't have to worry about where the food was coming from, he shut the fuck up.
Exactly. She brought bread through the door.
Yes. Now they didn't stay together for other reasons, but during those times, my grandmother, before she got pregnant with my mom and my aunts and them, she ended up dancing for a couple years. Then she ended up switching over to owning her little, like, black folks know what the number spot is. So in Chicago, y'all have the candy lady, who is the candy lady in the front, but all the grown people do they grown shit in her backyard. You feel me? Like, all okay, the kids see the innocent, like, candy
and the chips and all that.
Yeah,
all
baby, come on. But see, your uncle,
yeah,
or your cousin, your grown cousin, is knocking on the back door to get the pink paper with the numbers on it. Big Red, and what was the other one? One of them is Big Red. To this day, they're still illegal numbers in at least in New York. I don't know about anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't know about Chicago. I probably got somebody.
So there. The illegal numbers are the lottery system for the hood.
Mm.
The lottery jackpot is 9 times out of 10 a seedy ass motherfucker who shouldn't be the person that y'all getting this money from.
Okay.
And the thing about hitting the number, because that's what they call it, hitting the number.
Right.
The thing about hitting the number is that money, because, you know, lotto money is taxed and all that other stuff. You got to report it. When you hit the number, you don't got to report it because it's underground. It's illegal. So my grandmother had one of them spots.
Damn.
She had her fish fries in the front.
It's a whole
She had her fish fries. She had her sweets that she would sell. She made the best lemonade on the block. She was the person that made the plates and turned that shit out.
She was the block entrepreneur. Like,
and then she took that hustle. She opened up her lounge. I happen to have my baby shower in that club.
Lit as hell, G.
There's pictures of it. Yes, there's pictures of it. So, not my baby shower, meaning me carrying. I'm talking about when I was a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my mama, my mama carried me. No, God rest her soul. My grandmother transitioned in 2011.
Okay.
She passed on well before I became a mother.
Okay.
But in the physical realm, I mean, I think I still to this day think my grandmother picked my kids for me because the coincidences are just too strong.
Wow.
But yeah, I found out all of this. I say all this to say that, like, sometimes your family ties are a lot stronger than you realize, because I didn't know that my grandmother had a history of being an entertainer. I had no idea. I remember being a kid and seeing that she had in her closet all of these, like, furs and costumes. Well, now costumes, but at the time I thought they were just dresses. You know, shoes with like rhinestones and stuff like that. And I didn't put two and two together. You know what I'm saying? But in hindsight, once my mom explained that to me, it made sense why my grandmother was so supportive of my dance career. Never missed a show.
That's what's up.
Came to multiple shows if she could. You know, was the one that would tell my mom, so what that they won't accept her because she's fat. You know, take her to another place. Right. They're gonna take her in. And always had that spirit of like, it's showtime. You gonna always be on the stage. Like, once you step outside, the world is your stage. You know what I'm saying? My desire to always put that shit the fuck on, make sure my hair is done, make sure my, you know, appearance doesn't like cross the lines of me being, you know, negatively vain, but taking pride in my appearance. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of those things I didn't realize were sourced from a person who was on stage five nights a week sometimes. Like, at her height of her dancing career, she was on stage five nights a week.
That's what's up.
Grandma
was like,
So I say, you know, it's not really a mantra. It's really more of a statement, because, like, for real, like, Harlem Night would not be here had, you know, my foremothers not have, like, you know, done their thing. I had other people in my family that did entrepreneurial hustle, you know, like, but let's just keep it real. The whole term side hustle is Black.
That's really true. Side hustle
came from us. We've always called some shit our side hustle. First of all, the whole word hustle. Before it was cleaned up and applied to, like, be looked at in a positive way, a hustler was a drug dealer or a fucking scammer. Or motherfucker that did...
Or, like, selling you some old ass...
A card cracker. Somebody that did some shit that was seedy as hell. If you were called a hustler...
Back in the day,
that wasn't a positive.
That's
why I'm like...
With the little bootleg DVD.
Oh, child.
Gee.
I went to school with several bootleg fucking pops. People who was paying their kids school tuition with their bootleg CD money.
The little binder with the little sleeve.
Hello. High 97 mixtapes. What? Because I'm sure they made their way out here.
I'm sure
they did. So, yeah, I know for sure the spirit of, like, what I do, it comes from people who, like, they might not have did the most savory shit to get their dollars, but they fucking didn't kill, didn't steal, didn't rob. So, yeah, I definitely feel like my piece, so I'll say this. The piece that I have that you are recognizing in me is, that's actually my healing that you're seeing. I really did, like, the same way that you say you hermited and went into the lab and kind of just did your thing.
I
involuntarily did the same thing. I can't say that I was out here, you know, intentionally like, oh, I'm going to find myself and eat, pray, love my way into, you know, no, I didn't do any of that shit. But you get tired of sitting in your house being sad. You get tired of fucking wondering if shit is going to get better.
Something's going to itch hard enough. It become painful. How much you want to keep scratching?
My patience level had been, I guess, worn out enough to where I was like, I'm not going to wait for shit to come to me anymore. I'm going to go to it. And I'm going to see if it's going to meet me on the way to get to that point. And that's what I feel is... what's currently happening is me going to and it coming to me is like crossing paths. And I do feel like this is going to be a transformative year for me. I think that
transformative.
Yeah. I've been saying that word a lot in this session.
Oh, you have.
And I know that's involuntarily coming out my mouth. Like, that's just my subconscious saying that shit. Because I mean, but you also got to think about it. like I said in the beginning of our conversation, this is my last year of my 30s. And I'm not saying that like I'm not saying it like I'm sad. I'm not saying it like I'm getting old. I'm not saying it like that.
No,
I'm saying it like I'm on the threshold of some new shit that I've never fucking embarked before.
I swear to God.
Time has continued to go on and vices have been around. Motherfuckers was eating opium berries back in the day to get high. Crazy. You know what I mean? There's going to always be some sort of thing that people do to self-soothe.
Yeah.
And if food is something that people use to self-soothe, who in the fuck are you to get on your fucking tofu soapbox to tell somebody that they're not shit or they should feel guilty because they wanted a 4 for fucking 4. Yeah. Let them go eat the goddamn 4 for 4. If that's their business, that's their business. Goddamn. Wow. If you want to be 89 doing fucking jumping jacks, bless you. That's what you want to do. Okay?
Like, not 89.
Baby,
immediately, I saw a whole community.
Like the Asian lady. No. The Asian lady that be wearing the blue shirt.
No, dude, they be...
Yeah.
It's like... Sit down,
she know her shit, but no, I was saying that because I have so many different ways that I care for myself nowadays.
Yeah.
And yes, I do sometimes use food as a comfort source, and I'm totally comfortable with that because at the end of the day, like, I am a human motherfucking being, okay? And garlic tastes good, and it go on a lot of shit.
High keys.
And when I wanted some garlicky something, I'm gonna put it either on a fry or in a salad. It don't fucking matter.
Pasta shit.
Okay. And the pasta doesn't have to be gluten goddamn free. Okay. Yeah, that's how I think that's really, like, to answer your question. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of whatever my spirit or my body is requesting of me.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Thank you for that. Damn. All right, we're going to take it home, Angie. Hear me out.
Yeah.
This one right here is like that. You know when the old elevator, like, going all the way from the top floor and it's coming down to one, but you be feeling that, like, it should be little rocky. But you start to feel that shit, like, slowing down, but the vibrating, like, my nerdy ass. I hope you can envision that shit, but I lift my ass. I start. I'm screaming, but yeah, basically we getting ready to head to ground level floor one. Hear me out. But what are some goals that you want to accomplish? When it comes on the financial piece, right? Because I feel like all of us, like, ironically, random story time, but it makes sense to what I'm talking about. Like, I'm doing teaching artists. Gig right now at Harlan, and I'm basically teaching podcasts and photography. And the last class that we did, basically they were interviewing me and I was interviewing them, but one of the questions that they asked me was like, what are some things that as an early entrepreneur, like, that you didn't, like, talk about or that you hid? And I'm like, I feel like us not talking about money so young, or like, at a certain point of our lives, like, kind of shaped how, it shaped how we learned about money, you know?
So,
you think about goals, think about learning from mistakes, and then still applying the shit now. Like, I'm over here, like, I'm still learning, but I also got goals that I want to, like, challenge myself to, like, push, you know? What would you say, like?
So, a couple things I would probably say that I, well... One is a goal. One has actually already been done. Mm. So the goal is to be in the green with making money off of what I currently do as a performer and now as a production company owner.
Come on, production company owner.
Yeah, I decided to pull the trigger, so to speak, and decided to go into my own production and entertainment company. I am going to be launching my first event in the spring of this year, to be exact. We're shooting for the 25th, but that is pending, you know, making sure the things are secured.
Yeah.
But right now we are shooting for a date of the 25th. So the goal originally last year was to create the company is called Nights in Harlem.
Okay.
And launch it. And I did that top of the year.
Yeah.
So now our first production is going to be underway. And, you know, I'm trying to really see a profit off of the hard work that I'm investing in, because I know that my intention is to always curate dope spaces, amazing experiences. And as long as I keep that at the forefront, all the financials and things like that will definitely naturally follow. Nice. But yeah, the goal, that's the goal. Financial freedom eventually, from having to be on any kind of assistance if I can help it.
Yeah.
I am grateful for what I do receive though. And I am grateful that my kids fortunately don't have to worry about their medical and things like that for the time being. But if I had it my way, I don't want to rely on this government for shit. I want to be able to just do what I got to do, pay for the shit that I got to pay for. I know this country's too goddamn high.
Yeah.
If I had the opportunity to do my thing in another country and still be able to like teleport back here, I would do that. Cause you know, Chicago got a vibe, New York got a vibe, like, but I know that that's not possible. So I have to make my lifestyle and the means and everything. And I want my kids to just be secure.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really the goal. The goal is to break the generational curse of having to be lifelong renters and not have anything in your name. I mean, we've had some things in our name, but my family made the mistake of selling some things. And unfortunately, you know, we now see that that wasn't the wisest idea. So I just don't, you know, I don't even want that to be a conversation moving down the line. Yeah, that's my main goal for real. Like everything that I'm doing is to attain that particular goal. And I've not put no timeline on it.
Sure.
If I buy a house and I'm, you know, of a certain age, oh well.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
I did it though.
The bitch gonna get paid for.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And my goal is to have enough money where when I finally do buy a house, I put so much money down that my mortgage ain't crazy. Mm. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Literally. Or who knows? I could find a partner and me and that person could be paid on it.
Literally.
You know, you just never know. But
it's to know that you're already moving in a direction.
I'm definitely calling these types of things into my
into my
life. And I'm not just calling them into my life, I'm also calling in the ability to maintain it. Because when manifestation, we forget to ask for what we need to keep the shit.
Come on.
So yeah.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
Like literally, we just had a whole ecosystem of fucking Harlem Night and CJ.
Thank you. Love as always.
No, I appreciate you. See, thank you.
No problem.